In Esther chapter number 4, verses 13 and 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if I altogether holdeth thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" This will be the first of three messages that I will be preaching from this text. The Lord has laid upon my heart this truth, and for weeks it has been burning in my heart. Today will be the first of these messages. This morning, again tonight, I will be following through with the second of these. And next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, I will be delivering message number 3. I feel God has given me something concerning these verses that is for this congregation of people, for this audience. For those of you who may not have read this area of Scripture in quite some time, or maybe never have become frequent with it, Esther, a Jewish girl, has been chosen and has been elevated and been brought before the king. She has been accepted as the queen, and now then she is in the palace as the queen. She is Jewish, and this is an unusual thing for a Jew to have the position that she does in a strange land. But because of this, there was an individual that had become very jealous and envious of the Jewish people, and he sought to destroy the Jews. He hated the Jews emphatically, and he set out to try to have them destroyed. And so as this man set out to have the Jewish people destroyed, Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, was one of the main individuals that this person had set all of his strategy against to destroy him. But not only him, he wanted to completely erase the Jewish people from the land. He wanted to stamp them out. He hated them this desperately. And in his effort to do so, he had had a decree from the king to have such a thing done, and the king, being deceived, had foolishly bowed to the wishes of this man. And just in a matter of time, the Jewish people would be destroyed. So Mordecai gets an audience with the queen, and he says to the queen, he says, "Now this thing is going to happen, and we are coming to you since you are in the king's palace, and we are asking you to go in and to plead our case before the king. We know that God is able to deliver us, but we believe that this is your responsibility." In other words, what he is saying, we believe that God looked ahead and saw what this wicked man was going to do, and in making preparations to spare us and to let us go free from this horrible execution that is going to take place, we believe that God went ahead and placed you in the palace of the king, because God knew that according to the rules of the government, that I could not get an audience with the king. He knew that no other Jew could get an audience with the king. But since thou hast found favor in the eyes of the king, thou hast been chosen as queen, we believe that God ordained it and sent you ahead. We believe that God prepared it. We believe you have come to the kingdom for this particular hour. We think this is the reason you're queen. You may think it's because of your beauty. You may think it's because of your talent. You may think it's because of some other reason. But in our heart, we believe that you're a queen for one reason and one reason only, that you can plead the case of thy people before the king at this particular time and have your people spared. You see how that he zeroed in on the individual, how that he brought this down and made her individually feel responsible for every Jew that was under the domain of this king. He did not make it a blanket thing that you will share part of the responsibility and someone else will share another part of the responsibility. But he zeroes in and he brings this thing down and says unto Esther, Esther, I want you to know that I believe that God in his sovereign will has brought you to the kingdom for this particular time. Now, Esther, the whole ball is in your hand. You're the only key we have at this moment, and we're putting our confidence in you and in God who brought you here, that you'll go before the king and plead the case. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was that individual responsibility that he placed upon her. Not making all the Jewish people responsible, but Esther, you. I'm going to tell you something. It's pretty easy in a church like this, where God's blessings is moving so freely and the showers of glory are coming down, it's pretty easy for you to sit on the sideline and watch what's happening and never become personally involved. This is dangerous. Amen. Hallelujah. Every person who names the name of Jesus Christ is a vital part of this church. And you're either adding to its strength today or you're taking from its strength. And as an individual, you are a link in the chain. And if that chain be weakened because of a lack of your dedication and commitment, heaven have mercy upon you. Amen? We cannot look at the church and say, the choir, the Sunday school, the pastor, the music director, the pianist, the organist, this is your church. This is the church God put you in. It is not just an accident. It is not just for chance. It is not just by happen be that you found yourself in 1973 in a part of this church. But I believe you were brought here for this hour. Amen? Hallelujah. When I look into your faces, I look into you as every one of you being under divine appointment to be here. Amen? I don't look at you just because of this or that or something else that you're here. God may have used the radio program. He may have used the television program. He may have used a track. He may have used a number of things to bring you here. But all of this was for one purpose, to get you here under divine appointment. Amen? I must believe that. To fail to believe that would forfeit my confidence and my trust in a God, hallelujah, that has the sovereign power to raise up and to put down, to establish or to destroy, to draw in or scatter abroad. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And because of his sovereign will, hallelujah, he brought you here. Praise God. He put you here. Glory to God that he might meet the need of this community in this particular hour. Amen? It's an individual thing, beloved. It's not just for one or two. If this church goes down, every person will suffer part of the responsibility. Amen? It's not one, it's not two, it's not three. If this church maintains its spiritual stability and its spiritual growth, it'll be because people who fill the slot assume personal responsibility and obligation to that. Hallelujah. I don't believe it's just perchance that God has gone out here and gathered into this church such a vast, broad span and scope of people. And let me illustrate from that. When you look across the congregation and you see the people that's been saved in the last 12 months
and brought into this church. It's everyone from college professors, teachers from our school, individuals who are in business, some that have come from the very scum, so to speak, others that come out of the gutters of sin, for broken homes. They have come in here, individuals whose lives have been torn and wrecked by the powers of sin. All of these people have been brought into this church. I would not embarrass nor humiliate anyone this morning by singling any one particular person out, but we've got people from every walk of life known unto mankind here today. People who were snatched from the realm of gambling, people who were snatched from the gutter of prostitution, individuals who were snatched from the gutter of drug addiction, individuals whose homes was wrecked and torn. All of this has been brought together, and God by His divine sovereign will has put them together and built up a spiritual habitation, hallelujah, whereby the Spirit of the living God flows and touches the hearts and lives of people. Why did God in His sovereign will begin to gather you in? Because I believe we stand on the brink of the greatest revival that this city has ever known, and there's going to need to be counselors and established Christians, hallelujah, that's come from everywhere. Walk of life that they can give of themselves unto those that need to be taught and need to be established and need to be trained in the things of God. Hallelujah. 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 Clayton, you won't mind me saying this. There's not but chance this old boy sitting here this moment, tears streaming down his cheeks, when his little wife walked in this church the first Wednesday morning, there had been a solemn agreement between the two of them that come this Saturday, you go your way, Ginger, and I'll go my way. Amen? Their home was gone, totally gone. And she, because someone told her, listen to the radio program, who cares? She had heard it. She said, I don't know anything about this man, but I got to have help. She came into this church, walked down and sit down right here, and sat there, and from the first word I started saying, tears started coursing down her cheeks. She began to weep. Found Jesus that day, and went back home, got her darling little baby, and went to the office where Clayton was. And Clayton said, when she walked in, I knew something had happened to her. Oh, glory be to God. And Clayton hadn't been to church in months and months. He had rejected his own church, so to speak, and I don't say that unkind, but because of certain things that had happened, He had been disappointed. He had been let down. And so she said, I didn't think Clayton would come to church, but I prayed that if he would, that when I asked him, he'd say, yeah. And I asked him if he'd come to church with me. He said, yeah, I'll go to church with you. And he later told me, he said, I thought, well, any place that can change my wife like that, I want to go see what's going on there. And after coming about 3 weeks, Clayton found Jesus Christ real to his heart and his life. Oh, glory be to God. And to see them two together, you'd never think, hallelujah, that 3 months ago, their home was sitting on the rocks, and it was known, it was gone. But God, in His sovereign will, He brought them in. You say, why did He bring them to First Assembly? Because there's going to be literally hundreds of people in the next few years of Jesus tarries that's going to come to First Assembly, that's going to be in the same situation as Clayton and Ginger were, and they're going to give their testimony, and He's going to encourage them, and He's going to build their faith and give them hope and establish them in the kingdom of God. Oh, if you believe it, lift your hands and praise the King of Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now some of you who are yet fighting the battle, I can't go as deep with you. But I know there are couples here this morning who give their heart to God. Their husband or their wife, one is still gone. They haven't come home. But you know what? There are going to be people who's going to need your help. Amen? Amen? And God counted you worthy. So He tapped you on the shoulder. And He's going to bless you. And some of you go see your families brought back together. You'll be faithful to God. You'll say, Brother Gorman, that's a big statement. You shouldn't say that. Well, if I sin it in myself, I wouldn't have any right to do it. But since I know Him, whose nothing is impossible with, hallelujah, I can stand upon the authority of God's holy word. And I can claim the promise that God's going to reach out there. And He's going to bring that wayward husband, or going to bring that wayward wife. And He's going to bring them into the fold. And you know why that He's letting you suffer a little while? Because there's going to be somebody that's going to come right down this way, whose husband or whose wife is just like yours. And when you sit down and you begin to tell them, you say, well, I'd almost given up hope, and Jesus Christ came into my heart and my life, and I prayed and I fasted and I waited, and He didn't come home the first month, and He didn't come home the second month, and He didn't come home the third month, and I waited and I waited. But you know, as I continued to believe in God, I knew that someday it would happen, and God so did it. Hallelujah. He brought it to pass. You know why? Because this old city is thriving with people. I mean, it's just working alive with individuals in the same situation that you find yourself in today. And they're going to need your testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This is an individual thing. God knew what He was doing. God knew what He was doing. He knew what He was doing when He reached out and got Brother Robert. This man here, he mystified me when he first started coming to this church. Literally mystified me. Sit there and tape every program, every sermon I would preach, he'd tape it. He'd take it back home, and his wife tell me, he'd sit there and listen to it over and over and over and over and over. And when he came to the Lord, I thought, man, this is the strangest one I've ever seen come to the Lord. He's doing different. He came down and knelt down just like this and put his hands together and looked straight at that cross. Stared with his eyes wide open. Never closed his eyes. But you could see the transformation taking part in his heart. Isn't that right, Brother Roberts? And God did a work in his life. And he became one of the most precious Christians that there is in this church. Witnessing the men on the job, bringing people to church week after week after week after week. You know what God was doing? He was getting a man ready, because He knew a harvest field where there were a group of people, hallelujah, that needed a spark. They needed something. They needed, hallelujah, a live witness. They needed to know that God was real. But it was not a religious thing, but it was a reality in God. And so He laid His hand upon him and began to prepare him. Oh, glory be to God for that ministry that He was going to do. I'm saying to you this morning, do not chafe under the things that you're going through now. Do not gripe because the trial is there and the load is heavy and the cross may be weighing you down. But take cheer, hallelujah, because the God of glory has considered you, hallelujah, a choice possession, and He's preparing you for the ministry in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. What time is it, Danny? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 I know this is a little different than what I usually preach on a Sunday morning, but this thing's been burning in my heart. It's been burning in my soul. And I'm going to preach a little longer than usual this morning, so your dinner hour may be a little late, but don't leave. You know why God's brought in people? Why He's blessed some of our men financially and our women financially. Their businesses have prospered because He brought you into a church that had a vision. Amen. We're not going to spend that money foolishly. We're going to seek the face of God. But I got news for you, friend. We're not going to stash it away in no bank account for the Antichrist to use either. Amen. There's a world out there that's lost and dying. Hallelujah. There's a city that needs to know that Jesus lives. Hallelujah. They need to hear that song sung with such vibrations and anointing like the choir sung opening the service this morning. Because he lives, hallelujah, I can face tomorrow. They need to know that he lives, and they'll never know that unless they see some program or hear some message or something happen that they can see that there is a reality in serving the true and the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This past week, it was my opportunity to go and to be in a service with Jimmy Swaggart in Baton Rouge. And after the service was over, and some of you were there, you can witness to this, people literally flocked around me. You know what they were telling me? Numbers of them said, Brother Gorman, it's because of your radio program that I'm saved now. Amen. It's because of that radio program that I found Jesus. You may recall this. It's been about 3 months ago. There were 17 adults. They all came in at one time. They marched in and sat down in the back pews back there. When I gave the invitation, all 17 of them got up and marched to the altar and prayed and sought the Lord. This past week, one of those ladies and her husband ran up to me, put their arms around me with tears coursing down their cheek, and said, Brother Gorman, we want you to know it's because of your radio program that we came to know Jesus. We listened to you week after week. We listened to the program, and it touched our heart, and we came to your church about 3 months ago. We live in Avondale, and said we found Jesus, healed our heart and life, and said now we've both been filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're in Brother Radke's church, and we attend every service there. You know why, friend? Because of the Spirit of the living God that is moving throughout the land, and because we have vision enough to believe, hallelujah, that there's a people out there that want to know that Jesus lives. Amen. Oh, I know when I used to talk in terms of filling the old building over here, some said, well, I doubt it'll ever happen. We built the new building, and some made the remark loud enough that I heard it because they wanted me to hear it. We need to fill the old one before we build a new one. Amen. So I'm going to shock you one more time. No longer am I thinking in terms of hundreds, but I can envision if Jesus Christ tarries that God has thousands of people in this city that want to know the truth. Amen. And I believe that God is just as big as we'll dare to believe him to be. Amen. And I believe if God can find a people who have a vision enough, big enough, to build a church that'll seat 1,000 and will yield themselves to God, that they can fill it. Hallelujah. Not by themselves, but by the Spirit of the living God. Don't tell me that out of 1.5 million people, that God doesn't have 1,000 people that's ready to serve him with all of their heart. Don't tell me that he doesn't have 10,000 that would serve him faithfully if they only knew the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll move from that point now to the next point. Mordecai says now, I believe you've come to the kingdom for this hour. I believe that's why you're here. And then, boy, he laid one to her. He said, but I don't want you to think for one moment that if the Jewish people die at the hands of the wicked, that you're going to escape because you're a Jew too. And those palace walls will never protect you from the executioners either. But just in case that they do, how are you going to face your tomorrows knowing that you have the opportunity to reach your people and spare their lives, but because of your own pride, you wouldn't do it? Do you get the message? Esther, don't think you'll escape. But just in case you do escape, remember this, that the blood of your people will cry out against you forever.
and ever. Now, dear ones, listen to your pastor very close, because I believe God is swinging some doors open to us that we better walk through. We have pathetic situations in our city, and I'm not blaming the present administration for what is happening to our city. I don't blame the present school board for the rottenness in our schools. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. But I got news for you, friend. God has turned bigger cities than New Orleans, Louisiana, around. Either he did it, or the word of God's a lie. Either he did it, or church history has recorded a lie. I'm told that in the days when revival broke out and men like Wesley and others began to preach, I'm told that there was such a revival that hit London that people actually, in their plants and in the city, fell prostrate and cried out, God, have mercy upon me. Amen. You say, but Brother Gorman, that was used to be. Brother and sister, if he's not the same today as he ever was, then he's cheating me and he's unjust. Amen. I believe that the God I serve is the same God that moved then. And I believe that whatever way this city goes, it's going to affect every last one of us. Don't you forget it. Amen. As this city goes, it's going to affect us. And you say, but I'm only one person. That's right. And Esther was only one person. That's all she was one person. But she was at the right place, at the right time, and God used her to spare a nation. Amen. I believe that God has raised us up to play a vital part in the spiritual life of the city of New Orleans. And I believe that God is able to make us big enough and to make us powerful enough through Him that this city will feel the impact of First Assembly. Amen. You say, do you think you're the only church? I certainly don't think I'm the only church, but I don't have time to worry about the other churches because I've got all I can do right here. And I believe that God has called us to the kingdom for this particular hour. I believe that He has given us the ministries that He has given us in this church, that He might raise us up to meet a real need and a crucial hour in the history of the city of New Orleans. New Orleans cannot continue to go as she's going for another 15 or 20 years. She cannot survive. We're too corrupt from within. There is corruption that is boiling out on every side. We hang our heads in shame. As I've gone to preach camp meetings around the country and conventions and other things, and how people are asking me about some of the political chaos that is in our city, it is embarrassing, it is humiliating. But yet, my dear beloved friend, I have enough sense to realize and to understand that politics will never change it. Legislation will never change it. They can pass all the laws they want to, but there is one, hallelujah, they can alter the situation, and He is from above, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, Mordecai said, and I close with this. He said, Esther, you may choose not to go. And he said, I want to leave this with you, that while you have the power to go before the king, you can choose not to go if you want to. But he said, I still have faith in God that deliverance will arise from another way. But what's going to happen to you? Amen. Amen. I believe God is going to have a Pentecostal church. That's right. I believe He's going to have a tongue talking. I believe He's going to have a full gospel. I believe He's going to have a spirit-filled church in the city of New Orleans that's going to make an impact on this city. I believe that. We have the opportunity to be among that people. We have that. It's open to us. It's thrust at our feet. We can fail to do so, and he'll raise up someone else. But what will happen to us? Amen. Friend, you don't have to sing in a choir. It can drill down till you got six up there. You don't have to sing in it. You don't have to work in the CAs. You don't ever have to go in that prayer room, not one single time. You don't have to help with the missionettes, nor the children's church, nor the Bible quiz, nor the teen talent, nor no other program. But you're looking at a pastor that by God's help, we're going to create so many jobs that when you stand before God and say, I did nothing, that you will be totally inexcusable before him. I believe there is enough jobs in this church right now. Johnny, I don't believe anyone can justifiably say, there's nothing I can do. Anyone can sit back there and answer the telephone in the prayer room. And did you know what? It rings. If you don't believe it, you come by there tomorrow and sit for 2 hours and see how many times it rings. Sister Touchstone, does it ring back there? She volunteers 2 hours a week into that prayer room. Others are in there. Helpers are needed throughout the church. What spot can you fill? You say, Brother Gorman, I'm only one. That's all Esther was. Just one. Amen? You say, but Brother Gorman, I'm so insignificant. So was she. But God reached out there and touched her and said, honey, come with me. I'm going to place you in the palace. And for a long time, all you're going to have to do is look pretty and wear the finest clothes that the king's money can buy. You're going to have the finest bed. You're going to have the finest of everything. But what am I going to do, Lord? You're just going to look pretty. And you're going to get prettier and prettier and prettier as every day goes by. You're going to be the most beautiful little woman that the king's ever laid eyes on. You're going to be so beautiful, Esther, that when I need you, in that moment that I need someone to intercede for my people, in that moment that I need somebody, you're going to be so beautiful, honey. You're going to be such a little doll that when you step inside that old king's door and you say, could I have an audience with you? His old heart is going to melt. And he's going to become like clay in your hands, honey. And you're going to plead for your people. Who, me? Me? Yeah, you, Esther. Oh, but Lord, I'm a nobody. You check by. I'm a nobody. I'm a little Jewish lady. I'm hated. The king would never accept me as queen. You wait. You wait. I'll make you as the apple of his eye. You'll become the fairest of all the women in the whole country. And in that moment that I need you, you'll be more powerful before that king than all the armies of the world. You'll be able to do more than all the great men of the country. You'll be able to step in and you'll become the intercessor. You'll become the savior of my people. Oh, if somehow we could catch the vision that God has a spot for us, he has a place for us, he has a position for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some gripe and complain because why am I here or why am I there? Why? Oh, my friend. God knew what he was doing when he placed you where you are. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that there is not one person. Someone says, but I'm here because my company transferred me here. You're here because God put you here. You're here because God brought you here. Hallelujah. You're not here because of Boeing or Chrysler or the telephone company or any other company. You're here because God put you here. Amen. Become the Esther. Become the Esther that only you can become. Become the Esther that only you can become. Step in there. Amen? Step in there. Let God use you. Let God use you. You say, but Brother Gorman, all I'm doing is sitting on the pew. I cry and I pray and I cry and I pray and see nothing happens. My friend Esther sat in that room and powdered her face and combed her hair and changed dresses, and that's all she had to do. But when the hour came, she was ready. Hallelujah. When the moment was there, she was ready. And maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't have a Sunday school class today. Maybe you don't have some other position today. But get in there and then prepare yourself spiritually. Stay ready spiritually. Stay in the Word. And in that moment that God's ready for you, He'll tap you on the shoulder and say, now's the time. Step in before the King. Amen. And you know what? In that moment God called you, no one will be able to sing like you. You'll have the song. No one will be able to testify like you. You'll have the words to utter. No one will be able to do it just like you. Now listen to me. You say, Pastor, do you really believe that? Look, I know there are greater preachers in the world. I know there are smarter men in the world. But I believe with all my heart, and if I didn't believe it, I'd resign now, that nobody can do right here what I can do right now. Because I'm God's man for this hour. Sally, if I didn't believe that, honey, I'd resign today. Amen. And any time I feel that there's another person, and beyond, if you feel that this is not where you belong, you better find that spot where you belong and get there in a hurry, because the trumpet's fixing to sound and you might be out of pocket. Amen? And if this is not where God wants you to be, then you get there and get there in a hurry, because the trump of God's going to sound, and I don't want to be out of socket. I don't want to be somewhere that I'm not supposed to be. Amen. Let me tell you something. Even to the outside engagements that I'm taking, I've never prayed about them like I'm praying now. Man, I've turned down this and turned down that, and I don't say it boastfully, because it's important. I want to be where God wants me to be, because the trump of God's fixing a sound, friend. And if this trump of God doesn't sound and tragedy were to come, you say, do you think tragedy could come? Man, our nation has never suffered, and it just might suffer. And I don't want to be in Arkansas when I ought to be here, and I don't want to be here if I should be in California. If I die, I want to die at the post of duty where the King of Kings, hallelujah, has placed me. And that's what little Esther said. She says, well, if I perish, I perish. But here I go. I'm going before the King. And she marched before Him. If you believe that, lift your hands and cry out to the God of all the universe.